This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. With primary elections taking place in other states, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is heading to West Virginia for a rally today. The U.S. Senator from Vermont will speak in Huntington at 8:30 at the Big Sandy Superstore Arena. At stake today are 384 delegates in primaries in Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. His Democratic competition, Hillary Clinton, can't win enough delegates in today's primaries to knock Sanders out officially, but she can erase any lingering doubts that she will soon be the nominee. West Virginia's primary election is May 10th. Wednesday marks the first day West Virginia voters are able to cast ballots in the state's primary election. Ballots include candidates for president, governor, and the other state and federal level legislative seats. The primary also marks the only time this year West Virginians can cast a ballot for judicial officers at all ranks, including the one open seat on the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals. West Virginia Public Broadcasting is committing to bringing you all of the latest political news this year and is kicking off its coverage with the launch of a new website focused specifically on the election. Joining us now is digital editor Dave Mistich, who's here to discuss the site. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Ashton.
So what exactly is this website? What do we have available to people?
Sure. Well, I guess the first thing to do is tell you exactly where to go to find it, and that's elections, which is plural, .wvpublic.org. Again, elections.wvpublic.org. And what you'll find there is everything from news stories to interactives to basically the latest on campaigns and candidates. Sort of a one-stop shop for election coverage across the state. We'll also have information on where to find your polling place. So aside from news and information and interactives, you'll also find sort of a public resource for voters across the state.
So if somebody would go to that website right now, what kinds of things would they be able to see?
Sure. Well, you know, we're pushing content from our normal site, wvpublic.org, over the elections site as it relates to campaigns and elections. So any story that is about this upcoming primary and the general election, you'll find on this election site. You'll also find, you know, some interactives and, again, voter information, you know, all different types of content across the board.
So, for example, I worked on a story when Jay Rockefeller announced that he was going to endorse Hillary Clinton. That's there.
Absolutely.
You and I worked on a story about who's giving money to presidential candidates. Tell people about what that story looks like.
Sure. So basically what we did is we pulled data from the Federal Election Commission that's the latest filing for all the presidential candidates across the country. And so what that information tells us is which candidate is receiving money from which zip code across the state and how much. So if you take a look at that interactive map, there's a different color bubble for each candidate. And the bigger that bubble is, the more money they've received in a particular zip code. So you get a pretty good understanding of which presidential candidates are raising money in which particular places and how much that is exactly.
So just by looking at it, you get this idea, but then you can also just play around with
sure.
it, too.
Sure. All right. Yeah, that's exactly right, too. It's interactive, so you can filter in candidates. You can search by zip code. You can get sort of an in-depth look by person, by location, by how much money. So, yeah, it is fully interactive. You can play around with it and see what's going on in your area or, you know, your particular favorite candidate.
So what's going to be available on election night, because that's a really big deal.
Sure. Well, we're actually going to have an interactive from the Associated Press that will have live presidential results by county. So as the votes come in, you'll be able to see who's winning which counties as those vote totals come in. You'll also be able to see live results for each state race, given the state Supreme Court, the primaries for governor, the primaries for the state Senate and state House of Delegates, as well as the congressional races. So basically every race going on in West Virginia, you'll be able to see results as they come in. Another thing that I forgot to mention earlier is that we've got a delegate tracker. Obviously, everyone's paying attention to the delegate count in the presidential race. That's already up on the site, but as you know, we get to the May 10th primary here in West Virginia, that'll have results from our election, you know, built into the results there on the delegate tracker.
Great. So this is really, I mean, it's a one-stop shop for people who want to follow things through this election.
That's absolutely right.
All right. Digital editor Dave Mistich, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ashton.
And again, you can check out the latest political news on that website, elections.wvpublic.org. Remember, early voting starts Wednesday. The primary is May 10th. U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito stopped in Hedgesville yesterday to spotlight a unique program that uses beekeeping to help veterans with post-traumatic stress. Liz McCormick reports.
Pollen comes in all different colors of the rainbow: green, yellow, black, red. That's Cheryl Forney. She and her husband, Ed, own the Geezer Ridge Farm in Hedgesville. Cheryl carefully shows Senator Capito and other guests what the inside of a bee house looks like.
And look at this one. We've got pollen. Looks like water wings. The yellow. So she's breaking.
Capito visited Geezer Ridge Farm in Hedgesville Monday. The farm is home to thousands of honey-producing bees and gives community members and veterans a chance to learn about beekeeping. For many of those veterans, the practice is also a form of therapy. Geezer Ridge is one of six apiaries in West Virginia working with the West Virginia Warriors and Veterans to Agriculture program, which serves more than 250 veterans in the state. The program gives veterans the opportunity to take on a new career in agriculture while experiencing what Geezer Ridge owner Ed Forney says is life-saving therapy.
Knowing that you were part of making that life change for them, I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's hard to stand here and describe, you know, how do you feel when somebody walks up and tells you that, hey, I was going to kill myself, but now because of you, we're not.
Nicholas Preet is one of those veterans who say Ed's farm saved his life.
Before I got in this program, I didn't have any ideas for the future. I really honestly wasn't looking forward to the future. And now I have goals. I have a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan, and not just for business, but for my own personal goals.
The Warriors and Veterans to Agriculture program was created by state lawmakers during the 2014 legislative session. Senator Capito says she's been working at the federal level to get more backing for the program, including more dollars.
We want to help and do what we can for those people who put their lives on the line for us. And there's a lot of great volunteer spirit that has really sort of gotten this off the ground. And if we can just capitalize on that, I think it'd be pretty neat. And it's perfect for West Virginia.
Capito is a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, which recently passed its military construction veterans budget. Part of the bill includes funding for a national study into agrotherapy and its benefits. The study will take place over the next year. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Hedgesville.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Variable cloudiness today with rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and low 80s. That rain and thunderstorms continuing tonight with lows in the 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
A West Virginia native and WVU Journalism School graduate is part of the team that received the Pulitzer Prize for Public Service this year based on an international investigation of the fishing industry in Southeast Asia. Over the course of 18 months, Margie Mason was among the journalists from the Associated Press who located men held in cages, tracked ships, and stocked refrigerated trucks to expose the abusive practices of the seafood industry in that part of the world. In a statement, the Associated Press said that the reporters' dogged efforts led to the release of more than 2,000 slaves and traced the seafood they caught to supermarkets and pet food providers across the United States. Mason grew up in Daybrook in the western end of Monongalia County and graduated from West Virginia University. She spoke to Beth Voorhees from her home in Jakarta, Indonesia, where she says the AP's expose did nothing to change how the industry operates.
How does it feel to win a Pulitzer Prize with the AP for your work on slavery in the seafood industry? How does that feel?
We are so incredibly honored and humbled by this award. We certainly never expected to win. And, it's a really great thing for the entire AP. There were so many people who helped us with this. So it's a great recognition for everyone, but we've been saying all along that really, the men who came forward and told their stories, they are truly the ones who deserve all of the credit and the recognition. They risked their lives to talk to us, and you know, they were incredibly brave to do so.
And I want to get back to this seafood story in just a moment, but first, let's talk a little bit about you. One thing we like to ask West Virginians who have moved on and won, you know, a recognition like this is, what was it about West Virginia that gave you a foundation for your work today in which you've won the Pulitzer Prize?
Oh, West Virginia is, you know, it's never left me. I mean, I am, anybody who knows anything about me, and everywhere I go, I'm like the West Virginia ambassador, you know, all across the world. You know, I think that it's kept me grounded. You know, I grew up, certainly, you know, the whole family was in the coal industry in one way or another. And so, you know, as I travel the world and I write about, you know, people who are facing oftentimes the same type of struggles that West Virginians face, I get it. You know, I get it when farmers are having problems, or, you know, when laborers are having issues, or when, you know, people are facing poverty or they're out of work. I mean, I get it. And I think that, you know, when I'm interviewing people, it's very easy for me to connect with them, you know, in many of the developing world countries where I work.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And it goes right back to the seafood slavery story that you covered. This was shocking. I don't think any of the grocery store shoppers in the United States knew that this was happening. Now that this has been exposed, what is the seafood industry like there now? Have there been any reforms, any changes?
You know, there has been some change. I feel like, you know, the companies and also the, you know, some of the governments have tried to make change and force change. But, you know, unfortunately, this system is entrenched. It's been going on now for decades. And there's a lot of money. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of police complicity in all of this. And we found this time and time again. And so, unfortunately, this continues. And we've even had some of our guys who were rescued who've gone back home and found themselves impoverished and, you know, kind of been lured back onto fishing boats with promises that this is different, it's not going to happen again, and, you know, ended up on a boat for 6 months with no pay. And so, you know, this is, it's very much still happening.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunate. What are you working on today? What story are you working on now?
You know, we're still doing some work on this issue. We're not finished with it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got a few other ideas that are kind of floating around. But at the moment, you know, we're kind of trying to take a little bit of a breather for the moment. We worked on the story for almost 2 years. So it was a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, we're really gratified, you know, completely in awe of this award. And I'm really pleased that it's getting so much attention in West Virginia. You know, the tweets, and I've been getting so many emails from people I don't even know in West Virginia. And, you know, it makes me very proud to know that, you know, the people there certainly, even if you move away and you're gone on the other side of the world, you're still a mountaineer.
Margie Mason with the Associated Press speaking to us from Jakarta, Indonesia. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news on our website at wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Shepherd University, and Concord University. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Ashton Mara.